This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
DJ Shockley, thank you so much for jumping on with us, brother. We appreciate you. I'm just curious, are you concerned? We've been talking a lot about Mikal. Are you concerned at all with him not being able to do some of the things he wanted to do at the pro days and all this stuff? Or is that just background noise to you and this dude's going to be an impact player?
Fellas, first, I appreciate y'all having me. Good to talk to y'all. I ain't talked to y'all boys in a minute.
It's been a minute.
Good to talk to you. But, yeah, you know what? It's one of those things that you look back on and you say, man, I hope he continues to get healthy as this process goes along. I think he's been trying to do that, but I think he's also been trying to show the next level what he's all about. And you guys know I'm around this team a lot. I'm around George all the time. I travel with him on the sideline with him. And one thing, actually, I talked to Mikal about, you know, his injury situation. And one thing he said, he wanted to make sure that he shows scouts. This is at the end of the year. He wanted to show scouts that he can battle through a long season of little nagging injuries here and there, because he understood what the narrative was. But he also wanted to know and tell people that, you know what, I know I'm going to go through stuff. You guys see me injured, but I want to come back and be, you know, available for my team. And I think that spoke volumes to a lot of teams as well. Now, whether he's hasn't been able to do a lot of things, now, of course, a lot of teams want to see him up and closer in person, but I think he'll be ready to go. He said he was, you know, as healthy as he's going to be, and was still trying to, you know, gradually get his way back to where he was. But just showing that fight, that grit was big, I think, for him and for the next level to see, because he could have easily said, you know what, I know I'm going to be a first-round guy. I know I'm going to be one of those guys that everybody looks at when it comes to the draft, and I could just sit out. But he said, I want to come back and do it for my teammates. I want to show the next level that I am a team guy, and I'm not just sitting on my laurels and saying, hey, I'm going to wait till I get this bread.
And that's the thing. We've talked so much the last few weeks, DJ, about, you know, guys who played for Kirby, just like guys who played for Saban when Kirby was there, they come in the league and they're ready. And sometimes, like, you know, like Trayvon Walker, you maybe can't quantify his statistics, but once he gets in the NFL, he just makes it happen. Do you feel Mikal Williams can be a double-digit sack guy? Because that's what we need. That's the question, is the impact guy. Because maybe Mike Green out of Marshall is more impactful, but the big picture, Mikal Williams might be the guy who's going to be here 10 years.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think it speaks volumes to what you just mentioned, is guys come in the league ready. And I think you hear what, you know, all the GMs and coaches say about Georgia guys or Alabama guys, whoever it is, that come into the league and say, you know what, these guys are ready to play day one. They know how to practice. They know how to go about their business. I was talking to Kirby about a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling me that, you know, the Eagles people were telling him that all the Georgia guys didn't know how to do walkthroughs, because all they know how to do is go full speed, and they had to slow them down. So it tells you the level in which that these guys play at and their mindset when they get to the next level, because all they know is work. And I think Mikal absolutely can be one of those guys. I think it's been documented about Trayvon not having all the numbers and all that kind of stuff. And then now he's a double-digit sack guy last couple of years. But I think the one thing that kind of sticks out to me is you look at a guy like Green, obviously, who, you know, had 17 sacks this year. But then you look at a guy like Mikal, and you got to look at the system they're in. You got to look at the coordinator they're playing for. And in a Kirby-style defense, as we know, he likes to play a lot of guys, and I like to play multiple positions. And ultimately, it comes down to these guys are more of a team defense kind of players, as opposed to, all right, we're going to line you up on this left edge and you're going to get the quarterback. Georgia's defense was a little bit different, as, you know, as everybody plays in it, you kind of mix and match and you try to find these matchups, but also you're playing more team defense as opposed to just one singular guy just trying to go out and dominate one particular edge or tackle or whatever it may be.
DJ Shockley played quarterback at the University of Georgia. He's currently anchor on Fox 5, and of course, he said it. You get a chance to hear him and watch him as he is on the sidelines with the Dogs as well. Tell me about the offensive line. Like, Jared Wilson, he's considered to be, like, the best center in this draft. And what did you see through the course of the season? And there were times that Georgia's offensive line was not as good as we thought it would be, but him and Tate Ravitch are going to be two guys that are going to get picked in this draft over the weekend.
Yeah, I think when it comes to those guys, you got to look at them as an individual as opposed to what they did as a group. Now, we know they were, you know, not as good, you know, running the football. That's what Georgia's been known to do the last, you know, 5-10 years or whatever it is, been able to run the rock. And they weren't to that caliber this year. But I think you got to go back, and when you really look at the tape, now look at the totality of it, but look at the individual guy. Does he move his guy? Does he create space? Does he get out on the edge? There are a bunch of times where I turn on the tape and you see guys on the perimeter and they're de-cleating guys, or maybe another guy next to him missed their block. So I think it's a little misconstrued when you try to gauge what these guys are all about. I think you have to individually kind of grade those guys as you see them on tape. And both of those guys are tough. Both of those guys are physical. And, I mean, as we know, if Kirby doesn't hold back in practice, they've gone against the top guys in the SEC every single week in practice, so they're used to those battles. So I think when you look at those guys, yeah, you got to take them for individually who they are, and I think they both are talented players, both of them really athletic, and both of them really smart, because they ask the offensive linemen, which a lot of people don't really, you know, understand, but they ask those idea a lot of things going on. There's a lot of movement. There's a lot of things they got to do on the snap of the ball that a lot of people don't think. They just get in front of them trying to block them, but there's so much that goes on up there, and those guys are, you know, some of the smartest guys that I've seen come through there.
It's our man DJ Shockley. The camera loves him, Carl. See him on Fox 5, and man's making news, man, every day. Hey, the quarterback situation, since you were an amazing quarterback at Georgia, and again, just, you know me, man. I know it was tough because David Green was putting up big numbers. I wish you had more years to start at UGA. That's neither here nor
there.
Neither here nor there. What do you make? Because we've asked all our dudes this week, and we haven't talked to you in a while, Shock. What do you make of the Shedeur Sanders phenomenon and all the hate? Is it real?
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. As we know, when you get closer and closer to the draft, that's when all these things come out, and all of a sudden there's all these issues. Now, I think Shedeur has his, you know, negative. He has some flaws. He has some things that he may hold on to the football too much, not as athletic. You know, sometimes, you know, he talks bad about his old lineman. All that kind of stuff matters. I mean, when he did that early in the year, I was like, this is crazy. I can't believe he's, you know, kind of doing that. But the guy does have a lot of tools that you like. I think he's tough. I think he has the mental capacity to be able to, you know, be a really good quarterback at the next level. Obviously, it's going to take a little bit of what system he's going to be in. There are times where, you know, I've seen people talking about his workouts saying, you know, there's nothing on time. There's nothing in rhythm. Everything is, you know, a couple hitches and let's see the guy come out of it. And we know on the next level, you ain't going to be able to do that. And I think, obviously, that Sanders name has a big pull on a lot of people. And I think you change that name on the back of it, people may look at him a little bit differently. But coming to this draft, as we know, teams love to reach for those quarterbacks. It don't take but one team, and if there's one team that say they feel really good about where he is or finding the right spot for him, then it may be it. But I think there is some warrant to some of the stuff that he has done or said that it hasn't been good to the next level. And regardless of if you think you're a top three or four, you got to put your best foot forward in interviews or whatever it may be, because you never know down the line, if, hey, you're up for a contract and they let you go and here goes that team that was looking at you, say, yeah, I don't know if he's changed, that could affect you. So I think a little bit of both goes both ways for him. But I think once he gets to the next level, he'll understand that this is a different style of ball and he's going to have to do a little bit more than what he did the last couple, you know, places he's been.
TJ, we haven't talked about Malachi. Give me your thoughts on Malachi Starks, one of the top safeties in this draft.
I think the number one for Malachi is versatility, man. They asked this dude to do so much at Georgia. There were times last year where they just wanted somebody to catch the football on punts, and Kirby said, my most dependable guy is Malachi Starks. Mm-hmm. This dude just played, you know, every snap on defense. And I've seen that dude line up on the edge. I've seen him line up as a linebacker. He's played in the slot. He's played corner. He's played safety. This dude's played a little bit of everything. And I think that's what teams love, is the fact that you can have a guy who can – play a bunch of different positions, but then also you can give this guy a lot of stuff mentally to deal with. And I think that's what really is going to be enticing for a lot of teams. Yeah, the the speed doesn't be there, but you turn on the tape and the dude's always in place. The dude's always in a good spot. Obviously plays the football really well in the air. He is one of those guys that came in from day one at University of Georgia and was that guy that Kirby absolutely depended on, and you can tell why. He was a two-time All-American for the things he did. So I think he's going to be one of those guys that steps in day one and is a starter for wherever he lands. And I can't wait to see where he ends up, because wherever it is, I think they're going to get a great ball for that.
Hey, Shock, because you dialed in with UGA, we were just talking about this the other day. You know, the offensive line last year wasn't great. Now, guys going to the NFL, you got to protect, and we got to turn over the offensive line. Got to protect Gunnar Stockton. You got all these great weapons. But I've talked about Stacy Searles, and I've talked about, the development. Is Georgia going to be able to be getting the trenches right on both sides of the ball in 2025?
I sure hope so. And I've had a chance to do a couple different events with Kirby the last month or so, and then, listen to him talk during spring ball. The number one thing he talked to me about, and everybody else, quite frankly, was he wanted to get the line of scrimmage right. He said, we have to be able to run the football, and we have to be able to stop the run. And he even went back to saying, we changed some of the stuff that we do in our off-season workouts. The way we go about our lifting process, the way we, teach is a lot of stuff that he wants to get back to. So I think he understands it, and he knows that in this league, you have to be able to do that. You got to be able to control the line of scrimmage. And last year was not indicative of what kind of team he wants to have, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So I expect this team to take another step in the right direction this year when it comes to being able to run the ball and stop the run, because that's something that he had to emphasize. And when Kirby has his eye on something, you better guarantee he's going to make sure that everybody is locked in step with him.
Shock, where are you at on this NIL and Nico Iamalaleva situation? It's played out. He's at UCLA, but everybody around college football was talking about it. I'm just curious where you're at on this, because, look, I think the thing is broke. I don't think we can survive this way with everybody just like, I'm out, I need more money. There's got to be something in place, whether it's a new CBA that gives, universities a chance to say, hey, you're under contract. But where are you at with this stuff?
I'm right there with you. You look at when it started, everybody's excited. Yeah, these dudes getting paid. They deserve it. Absolutely. But then it's starting to get out of control. And then now the guys are starting to feel like they can dictate everything that's going on. And obviously so, because they're the big product. But I think at the end of the day, there has to be guardrails. There has to be something that says, these guys can't just do what they want to do and leave when they want to, or ask for more money, or be talking for while you're getting ready for another game and still trying to shop yourself. There has to be some kind of guideline. There has to be something that these schools can lean on so that these kids can't be the ones that control everything and say, I want more money. I think a lot of these kids, haven't really earned it. And it's become to a spot where this dude's making $2.4 million. Would you think you can find another job in this world where you can just say, all right, I'm going to leave 2.4 around and see if I can go get some more? Like, come on, bro. Let's be for real. Like, and then you're in a great spot like Tennessee. They're going to support you. I just was really thrown off by it and thought that it was kind of greedy on his part. And I understand he wants more money. Mm-hmm. But if you play the way you're supposed to, guess what? That bread going to come.
It's going to come.
He's not that good.
Yeah. Shock. I'm with you. And, you talk about Kirby. Yeah, we're up against it. We got to run. But I love to hear what you have to say about this. And, we've heard enough of Kirby where I know he's not necessarily happy about how this is all playing out. But I think he's doing a good job of navigating it is what I'm getting to. Like, with the Dogs, it's a different story. And it's not that they're not going to lose guys, but I think he's doing a really good job of navigating this stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, I think he points to, where do you want to go? Where do you want your future to be? Where do you want to be looked upon? And you look at the track record of his guys, once they come through this program and where they end up, and it speaks for himself, and guys have to get in line or they figure out a hard way. So Kirby, yeah, he's his own GM, and he knows the ins and outs of it, and he knows exactly how to get these boys played at a high level and then make them go earn their bread.
Shock, man, appreciate you. We probably will see you down at the stadium tomorrow, yes, I'm guessing. So, hey, man, watch him Fox 5. He does a terrific job, and you'll hear him on the Dogs broadcast as well. DJ Shockley, thank you so much.
Fellas, my brother, appreciate y'all. Y'all be good.
You too.